1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Because of the sin in the church at Corinth, Paul had to reteach their approach to this table, which is to our benefit. And in the verses before that we did not read, he tells them, as you come, as you gather, one of the things you need to do is approach this table in a spirit of confession. We don't want to approach it carelessly, thoughtlessly. We can't approach it perfectly, but we can approach it after we have invited God through his Holy Spirit to search our hearts, our minds, to uncover what we maybe have overlooked, excused. So that we are in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior, his Son, the Lord Jesus, and his Holy Spirit, who has helped us in this process. Psalm 139, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." There's a chorus we like to sing that's very similar to that. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Apologies, Miss Joyce. I have an agenda in front of me. Jeremy has an agenda in front of him. And you don't. I'm sorry, I forgot. I don't know. Can old dogs learn new tricks? Some of us clearly struggle. So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are your children, we are imperfect, but we've gathered here just wanting to worship together around this table. And one of the things your word encourages, whether it's through the words of David in the Psalms or the instructions of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, it is that we invite you to search us. Yes, we are your children. Yes, we've recognized Jesus as Savior and as Lord. Yes, we know our sins are forgiven, but at the same time, we know that we still struggle with that old sin nature. And there are times when we overlook, when we excuse sin in our lives. And sin, like leaven, if we leave it alone, it grows. It festers. It affects more and more of our life until we are less and less useful. So, Father, we invite your Spirit. Search our hearts. See if there's anything that we need to confess. Recognize, agree with you, recognize as sin, confess it, and claim the forgiveness that you promise. What a joy. Quiet our hearts. We confess that sin your Spirit has disclosed to us. And as your children, we continue in our time here around this table. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus and the disciples gathered for the Passover. At the Passover, it would have been a very simple meal. Remember, it was a meal that they ate just before they left. They'd prepared a lamb enough just for that meal. They had gotten rid of all of the leaven, all of the yeast, and had made little cakes. And there were cups prepared, each of which had taken on symbols of the meal, after which they would be leaving Egypt for the Promised Land. And every year, Israel was to gather in the spring and celebrate together Passover. And even today, Jews celebrate Passover. As a part of it, pray that soon, perhaps next year, we will be in Jerusalem with the Messiah. Of course, what they don't know is the Messiah came. Jesus fulfilled all of that. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Now we pray too that soon he will come. But he has come and accomplished all that was necessary for our salvation, and not ours alone, but for the sins of the whole world. And as he gathered with his disciples there, he took a piece of bread, and he broke it, and he handed it to his disciples, and they kind of passed it around, probably a piece that they even continued to break off as they passed it around for themselves. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The disciples would not have fully understood what they just heard and what they'd just done. it would only be after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, that they would realize what he meant. These were all men who'd studied and heard the rabbis. They were all expecting someone who would come and throw off Rome and liberate Israel. They weren't looking for a savior who would take care of their souls, who would prepare them for eternity. What did this mean, that he would give his body? Well, very soon they're going to learn, as he's beaten. Beaten in a way that many never made it to the crucifixion. Many died on the road in the process. But Jesus did not. He bore it all, as he told his disciples. For them, for you, for me. He bore all that in his body. Now, next time when you take that bread and share it, think of that body. Broken, bruised, beaten. For you. Then Jesus took a cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." A new covenant. The covenant God had made with Israel through Moses was the law. Keep the law to the best of your ability, but always falling short. Keeping the law as best you can, confessing the sin that's going to happen, the law will remind you of that, and be in relationship with God. But sin is still there, it's still a problem. Until the new covenant came, the new arrangement between God and man, all based on the blood of his Son. So this new covenant in my blood, this new promise? Well, recognize me as Savior and Lord, Jesus said. And then your sins will be forgiven. You become a child of God, one of His, part of the family. Now, in both cases, with the bread and with the cup, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's important that we remember that while we were saved by grace through faith in Christ, the foundation of that is the cross. Without the cross, there's no grace. Without the empty tomb, there is no promise of grace. But the cross makes it clear that God loves you and that Jesus died for you. His blood paid the penalty for your sins. The empty grave proves that He is exactly who He says He is, the very Son of God, our Savior. So when you eat the bread, when you drink the cup, when you recognize what was necessary for God to be gracious to us, what Jesus had to bear in His body, what He had to give of His blood, His very life, then you remember that while you are a recipient of grace and only had to respond by faith, Jesus died and rose again. Then Paul finishes this in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." You know, in our study in 1 Thessalonians, right in the middle of that passage in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, you remember? Right in the middle of that, those that are looking for Jesus to return for His church, Paul inserts, "Those who believe that Jesus died and rose again." He inserts the gospel. And so, as often as you eat the bread, as often as you drink the cup, you proclaim His death. You proclaim salvation to those who would receive it. And so, as Lord willing, we will be reminded next week as we continue our study in 1 Thessalonians, while we are looking forward to Jesus' return, that also means that in the meantime, we need to be taking advantage of every opportunity that we have to proclaim His death until He comes, so that others would be a part of that celebration as well. Let's stand together as we sing our hymn of fellowship and are dismissed. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to thank you for starting today, starting this week with us here. We do have several missing. Some we know are homesick, others not sure. Please be praying, remembering one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder that while we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, it cost you dearly. This wonderful plan of redemption that you set in motion from the time our first parents chose to disobey. Culminating in your Son becoming man, being born as a baby, to live among us so that He might die, take upon Himself as only He could, the God-man, our sins, and not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Through His resurrection, prove that He is exactly who He says He is, your Son, our Savior, the one to whom we look forward to seeing again, and maybe really soon. But until then, may we be faithful servants, useful to your Holy Spirit as He draws others to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.